Attention, this ain't your mama's sports cast. You're listening to the Livingston County Football Kickoff with hosts Buddy Morehouse and Tim Roberts.
Welcome to the Livingston County Football Kickoff. I'm Buddy Morehouse, and I'm joined once again by Daily Press and Argus sports editor Tim Robinson. Tim, how are you?
Just fine, buddy.
Well, great. We're through now with the high school regular season. We're on to the playoffs. We have two teams from Livingston County, Howell and Fowlerville, that are going to be in the playoffs this week. But before we talk about them, let's take a quick look back, because the season's over now for three of our other teams, Brighton, Heartland, and Pinckney. How did things go for them this year, do you think? Kind of a disappointment?
Well, Brighton and Heartland were two teams, I think, that thought they were going to do a little bit better than they did, and they certainly had two or three games where a play here and a play there, and things would have been different. Of course, every team can say that. They both finished 3-6.
Now, that's a disappointment. I mean, I think they were figuring they were going to be doing quite a bit better than that this year.
Yeah, whether they would have made the playoffs at 5-4 is another thing. But, well, they probably would have, or at least would have had a shot at it, just because they would have had to have beaten two very good teams to get in.
Right.
Pinckney, another disappointing season, ending with a pair of blowout losses against Milford.
Pinckney won the first game of the year and then lost the last eight.
It's been a long struggle there. They've won five games in the last six seasons, and it's back to the starting
gates. Why not? Okay, well, on to the good news now. We do have two teams that are in the playoffs this weekend. Howell and Fowlerville both had excellent seasons. They're both 8-1. Let's start first, talk a little bit about Howell. They're going to be home this week, and they're going to be playing a perennial power in the state, Detroit Catholic Central.
Yes, Catholic Central is back, and it should be an interesting game on Friday. It looks like they're going to play on Friday. Howell's been doing the same thing all year, basically using Richie Wilson as a kind of a battering ram. And when they stop Wilson, then they've been able to find other people to step up and on offense and move them when they've needed to. They've been playing tough on defense. So Howell playing at home, a decent advantage on Friday night.
Right, and then Fowlerville is going to be hitting the road to play Adrian this week.
They're going
to
be hitting Friday it hard. Night. Adrian is a long trip.
This is their longest trip of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and that's unusual because they played Ionia, which is about 70 miles, and Lakewood, which is about 65 miles, but they played both of those schools at home. I remember a few years ago they went as far as Grand Rapids. They were driving all over the state to play games. This year the Glads begin their big road trip in the playoffs. They're going down to Adrian to play that game. I think that Fowlerville is a team that's kind of built for the playoffs. You know, the numbers aren't too gaudy, but they didn't use the first string in the second half of at least three games this year.
Now, Fowlerville's made no secret of the fact that their goal this year, because they made it to the state semifinals last year, their goal this year is to make it to the state finals, to make it all the way to Ford Field. I think they've been pretty open about that, but they don't have an easy road. Even if they beat Adrian, they're probably going to have to play Chelsea.
At Chelsea, and that's going to be another tough one.
Yeah.
Division
3 looks really, really tough. There's some good teams in there.
There are, but Fowlerville, I think, is among them. They've got a quality running back in Adam Powell, and they've got a nice passing combination in Josh Radesky and Joe Lane, and Garrett St. Charles is a guy that hasn't been heard from a lot this season. Ryan Ross is a good wide receiver. I mean, they've got a lot of weapons.
And don't you think that the playoff experience that they gained last year is really going to help them?
It's going to be key.
Yeah, this is a pretty tested team.
Yes.
What we have going in there.
And they beat Chelsea at Chelsea last year in a thrilling game, and they won, I think, in the last 10 seconds of the contest. I mean, this is a team that's been there, and except for the loss to DeWitt, which, DeWitt's been beating people by fairly healthy margins all season. That was a fairly close game.
Right.
And if it all works out, they'll play probably DeWitt. If they win their first two games, then they would meet DeWitt probably in the third game.
In the third round after that.
Yes.
I mean, I know they'd love that rematch, too.
Well, I'm sure they would.
Yeah, Fowlerville would love that rematch.
And all those games would be on the road. If things go according to form, Fowlerville probably will not play at home in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'd have to have an upset for that to happen.
Yep.
On that. So, great. Well, it should be an exciting weekend.
And Howell, too, for that matter. They'll play the one home game, but if everything goes to form, they probably won't play any more home games after this.
So. Then they're on the road after that. Yep. Right.
Football kickoff in just a moment, but we'd like to remind you to come to LivingstonDaily.com every Friday night throughout the season for game night photo galleries, scores, and updates. That's LivingstonDaily.com. Now back to Buddy Morehouse and Tim Robinson.
All moving on into the college ranks, we had two real big games in these parts last weekend. We had Michigan State and Ohio State. And it was a seven-point game, but a lot of people were saying, I watched a good chunk of that game, a lot of people were saying it wasn't really a seven-point game. Well, Michigan State's offense didn't really do anything.
Ohio State shut down the Spartans on offense. They got a couple of defensive touchdowns to make it close, and then when they had to make a stop, they couldn't because they hadn't stopped Ohio State all day. So it was a game that I think that Michigan State just was outplayed in, for lack of a better word. Probably for the first time, really definitively, this season.
And Michigan goes on the road. They beat Illinois by 10, 27-17, without Mike Hart and without Chad Henne for a good portion of the game.
Illinois helped them, too, with a lot of...
They played a horrible game.
And a lot of dumb penalties. But, you know, you got to give Michigan credit for pulling it out without all their two top players. To win a game like that on the road is an important thing.
Well, now, are you finally ready to admit that Michigan and Ohio State are the two best teams in the Big Ten this year, far and away?
I hadn't argued that, buddy. I was talking about the top four or five teams last week when we were discussing Michigan State. But I will say...
We're back to the Big Two, though. It's going to be a Michigan and Ohio State year.
And you could say it's the Big Two and the Little Nine, because the Big Ten is a little bit down this year, but Ohio State and Michigan are clearly the class of a diminished league.
Right. And Michigan, they have essentially a bye week this week. They're going to be playing Minnesota. And Minnesota is that might be the worst Big Ten team I've seen in the league in the last 10 or 15 years or so. They're terrible.
Yeah, they might be down there when Northwestern was losing 30 or 40 games in a row. I mean, this is not a very good team. They've lost...
They just lost last week to North Dakota State.
Dakota State team.
Well, Tim, what kind of a team loses to a Division I AA team? I mean, really.
Well, yeah, obviously.
You'd never see that happen.
No, never, never.
And speaking of that, what happened to Appalachian State?
Well, they lost to a Division I AA team as well, so they're no better than Michigan or Minnesota.
Okay, they're right in that same ballpark there. All right, Tim, if it's been a crazy season, as we know, in college football this season here. This week, the two top teams in the BCS are Ohio State and Boston College. South Florida last week, they were exposed as a fraud.
Well, they lost.
They lost. They were exposed as being a fraud.
Everybody's a fraud except the five or six teams. Is Hawaii not a fraud? Deserves to be in the finals.
Arizona State's going to be exposed as a fraud pretty soon here. And, you know that's going to happen. But I want to ask you right now, I'm going to put you on the record right now, if you have to make a prediction at the end of the season, what two teams are we going to see playing for the national championship? I'll give you my picks right now.
Okay, go ahead.
While you're thinking of this, I'll give you mine now.
I have to ponder this. You can see the sweat rolling off my nose right now.
There you go. I think that LSU is they had their setback. They have probably the gutsiest coach that I've ever seen in Les Miles. That guy is just not afraid to do anything. I really like LSU. I think they're going to make it. Michigan's going to beat Ohio State, so Ohio State, I think, is going to drop out of there. So I'm going to say right now, I think it's going to be LSU and then USC coming back up as the top two. That's my prediction. What's your prediction, the top two teams playing for the national championship?
I'm going to say Ohio State and I think LSU.
Ohio State, LSU.
Yeah. Okay. I don't see Michigan beating Ohio State this year.
Okay. Well, that's going to happen. Michigan.
Well, yes, it could happen, but we're not playing Madden.
I know.
Or NCAA to 07. We're playing, this is college football, and I just don't think that Michigan is
okay,
going
well,
to be
that's,
Ohio State.
Either way, we're both on the record now. I say it's going to be LSU, USC. You say it's going to be LSU and Ohio State.
We'll do that.
The big news in the NFL around here is that Tim, your Detroit Lions are now 4-2. What's happening with them?
Well, they won a game yesterday that they did everything they could to give away, and then Tampa Bay, no, you have it, you have it. And so the Lions said, we'll take it. You know, in soccer, they talk about 50-50 balls. Well, the NFL has a lot of 50-50 games, and the Lions haven't been winning many of those lately. They did on Sunday, and all the better to them.
Right, and that to me is what's really noteworthy, is that's a game that the Lions would have lost in the past, a game where both teams were playing pretty poorly.
They were playing well enough to lose, both teams.
And usually it would be the Lions that would come out on top of the losing effort on that.
But the Lions got their running game going with T.J. Duckett had a nice contribution on a drive, and Kevin Jones rushed for 75 or 80 yards, and that's more than enough. I mean, Calvin Johnson made that nice run on the end of round, and they're finding ways. It's a slow and painstaking process, it seems. Probably a lot slower and more painstaking than we would like, but You know, the Lions have already passed last year's victory total, which is, you know, really not that much of a distinction.
That was quite an accomplishment. Yeah.
But
they had to win four games.
But, you know, they had to get there. So, you know, now they play Chicago, and that'll be a bigger test for them.
Now, when they played Chicago a couple weeks ago, it was Brian Griese's first game as a starter. He didn't play very well in that game, but he's actually been playing pretty well the last couple weeks. So this is going to be a good game on Sunday.
And the Bears are coming off a big road win at Philadelphia last week. So now they come back to the big spaceship on the lake, and it's another test for the Lions. You know, if they can block and keep John Kitna off his back
and score more points than the other team, they're going to win.
The first two things are essential. Then the third thing will most likely
be nice if it happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot then. Who are in Beat the Pros this week? Who are you going to be picking, the Bears or the Lions? I'm picking the Bears. Who are you
going to take?
Take the Bears.
This isn't point counterpoint, is it?
No. Okay. You can take the Bears as well if you think that they're going to beat the Lions.
I'll take the Lions just because the Bears' offense just does not impress me at all. It doesn't, you know, you got to
even
you
with the improvement that Greasy's
you got to score points to win.
Yeah,
and you can't depend on Devin Hester, you know, the kick returner. Someday somebody's not going to kick to that guy. I would think that would have happened by now, and maybe this week the Lions will be the team that's smart enough not to kick to him. Right. You know, because he's a weapon in that he gives teams good field. He gives the Bears good field position if not when he's not running the ball back. You know, and if you're always starting at the 40 and 50, I mean that just makes your offense gives a better opportunity to be more efficient.
Okay, well, it's going to be another big weekend of football. Hopefully, we're going to be back here next week talking about Howell and Fowlerville's second round opponents. So we'll see what happens from there.
We will.
That sounds great. Well, for the Livingston County Football Kickoff, I'm Buddy Morehouse.
And I'm Tim Robinson.
We'll see you next week.
Email your comments or program suggestions to info@livingstondaily.com or join us on StoryChat at livingstondaily.com.